Hello, good morning. It's Thursday, June 4th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. Israel and Lebanon have reached another ceasefire, and President Trump says a deal with Iran could be reached by the weekend. We have been here before, haven't we? Today, I bring you a great conversation with activist Shavas Kestenbaum. He argues that no, Israel did not drag America into war with Iran, and he explains why. Hear our conversation in a moment, but first the headlines. The IDF continues to strike Hezbollah targets in southern Lebanon despite a truce brokered by the United States. Defense Minister Israel Katz says the IDF will maintain positions north of the border, including at the Beaufort Castle that was captured this week. An agreement reached Wednesday in Washington requires the Lebanese army to drive Hezbollah terrorists north of the Litani River. In return, it appears Israel will hold off from striking Beirut. President Trump has privately told his advisers that he would only resume full-scale military operations against Iran if American soldiers were killed. That's according to a report in the Wall Street Journal. Trump has played down Iran's attacks on Gulf allies, including yesterday's deadly strike on Kuwait's international airport. While Trump says talks with Iran are going well, Iran's foreign minister claims no meaningful progress has been made. Talks that were supposed to take place today in Cairo between Hamas and the former UN envoy and head of President Trump's peace council, Nikolai Mladenov, have been postponed. They may happen next week. Sources cited by The National say Hamas may be willing to relinquish heavy weapons such as rocket launchers, but will hold on to small arms. Palestinian Islamic Jihad, meanwhile, remains completely opposed to disarmament. The head of the UN's nuclear watchdog has visited the UAE and Saudi Arabia in recent days. IAEA Director General Rafael Grossi praised the safety standards at the UAE's nuclear program and condemned Iran's recent attack on its Baraka nuclear plant. Grossi also urged Riyadh to remain cooperative and transparent as it advances its civilian nuclear program. And a German hotel has been suspended from Booking.com after a staff member told Israeli tourists that Jews were not allowed at the property. Yes, in Munich, no less. Bavarian authorities have opened an investigation, while Israel's consul general asked, are we really in the 1930s? The hotel owners insist the message was not anti-Semitic, claiming staff mistakenly believed they were responding to fraudulent inquiries. Before we get to today's conversation, a warm thank you to our sponsors, Steve and Adina Friedman. If you'd like to sponsor the programme, drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Shavas Kestenbaum. Shavas, I've noticed you spend a lot of your time fighting this narrative that Israel controls American politics and even that Israel dragged the United States into war with Iran. Do you think that that narrative is taking hold in the mainstream?
Well, let me just say that if Israel is controlling the United States government, especially vis-a-vis foreign policy, they're doing a pretty bad job considering President Trump just told Bibi to go F himself, but I digress. In terms of whether this narrative is being accepted in political discourse within social circles, the answer is unquestionably yes, particularly my generation, Gen Z. Gen Z is more likely than any other age demographic to support or to show sympathy not merely with the Palestinians, but to show actual sympathy with Hamas over the people of Israel. Gen Z is incredibly skeptical of the role by which the Israel lobby, which is just a euphemism for American citizens who are part of AIPAC or the RJC or whomever, playing a role in political discourse. And they're increasingly questioning the Israel-U.S. alliance. So if you're living in Israel or if you are pro-Israel, you definitely have reason to be concerned. I think the Israeli government can do a heck of a lot more to help young Americans, particularly young American Jews who are trying to change that narrative. But ultimately, this is not merely a fad on social media. This is not just something that you're hearing about from word of mouth, but this is a real phenomenon. And unfortunately, Gen Z, both on the right and on the left, seem to be coalescing around this shared hatred of the state of Israel.
And being anti-Israel does seem to go hand in hand with being anti-West, anti-Western values as well, which is also a problem for America, isn't it?
Yeah. So when I discuss Israel, I'm a political commentator. I'm in the conservative movement, very proud to be part of MAGA. But when I discuss Israel, to your point, I discuss it through the prism of the United States. So I support any foreign country that is willing to uphold Western values, that is an outpost of American military dominance, that is willing to preserve Western hegemony. So whether that country is called Israel or Ukraine or Taiwan or South Korea or Japan or Australia, I'm more than happy to support them. I'm also happy to see the argument, as has Bibi Netanyahu, that we should tap down our foreign aid. I think it's more of a concession than a political reality, simply because foreign aid is so minuscule as a percentage of our federal expenditure. It's 0.8% of what we spend every single year. And of that 0.8%, Israel doesn't even get half of it. And of the amount Israel does in fact get, we don't give it to them. 90% must be spent in the United States. In fact, we as Americans actually make money by these essentially discounts or vouchers that we give to the state of Israel. But nevertheless, if that's what will make, you know, young Gen Z Americans feel better about themselves, I'm sure I'm happy to concede that argument because it's just so inconsequential. But ultimately, yes, I always tell American Jews, especially the American Jewish organizations, stop focusing exclusively on Israel and anti-Semitism, because it's a manifestation of a much greater societal ill. It's a manifestation of Americans feeling out of place, feeling demoralized, and feeling angry about the economy, about affordability, about foreign policy. And those are, you know, genuine angst. That's an accurate diagnosis of real problems. But if you just focus on Israel, the American people aren't going to care that much. We need to discuss anti-Semitism, for example, in the context of young people being demoralized, having terrible role models like Nick Fuentes and Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson, who repeatedly tell them day in and day out that the reason you can't get a girlfriend and the reason you can't move out of your mom's basement and the reason you have to work three jobs is because something, something Bill Ackman and something, something AIPAC and something, something the Jews. And when you keep telling young people that thing, they're going to believe you. So don't fight anti-Semitism in a vacuum. Fight anti-Semitism through the context of young people are being fed a diet of political indoctrination. They have this poison that's being fed to them each and every single day.
And you mentioned Tucker Carlson. He talks a lot about the war with Iran and how he believes Israel dragged America into that war. But what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that is becoming a real concern for people in America?
You know, it's funny because Tucker Carlson had said a few months ago that he was attacked by a demon in his sleep. And the more I listen to Tucker Carlson, the more I'm convinced that that actually might be true. This is someone who is a paid propagandist of the Qataris, of the Iranians, of the Russians. This is someone who completely ignores American history. In fact, what's so great about Tucker Carlson and the woke right, and also the woke left, is they really just start counting history whenever is politically convenient. So they'll totally ignore the fact that the Iranians were behind the bombing of the USS Cole. They'll ignore the fact that the Pentagon has clearly documented that Iran was behind the death of 609 American soldiers in Iraq. They'll ignore the fact that, of course, the Iranians stormed the American embassy, taking dozens of hostage, holding them for more than a year. They'll ignore the fact that they were behind the Marine barrack bombing in Lebanon. They'll ignore all these actual terrorist attacks committed by Iranians against Americans in order to propagate this narrative that it's really Israel. Iran is a threat against Americans. They have American blood on their hands. They have paid and continue to pay terrorist proxies like Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis to kill Americans. I mean, October 7th, yes, it was the largest single day massacre of Jews in the Holocaust. 48 Americans were killed on that day. A dozen Americans were taken hostage. I mean, you don't have to like Israel, but to pretend that those things didn't happen means that you are acting in a nefarious motive. So Tucker Carlson, thankfully, does not really have any pull in the Republican Party. His approval rating amongst Republicans is at about 30%, and amongst the general electorate, it's closer to about 20 to 25%. Almost every single person, every candidate he has endorsed has lost. But to your point, it is true that an increasingly growing share of Americans believe that Israel dragged us into this war, that Bibi is pulling the strings, that AIPAC is a foreign lobby. And as I said, I think the Jewish leadership in the United States and the state of Israel is not doing a very good job at helping young people who want to combat that narrative and that disinformation.
Right. And anti-Semitism is rising on the left and on the right. What is the future for American Jews?
Well, before I answer the question about American Jews, I'll talk about Canada because it's much easier to punch up to my north. I lecture all over the world. I speak in Canada a lot. And I often tell the Canadian Jewish students that I speak to at Concordia, at McGill, at York, at McMaster, I say, why stay here? I mean, really, like, what are you fighting for? This is a country that at best doesn't want you, and at worst, denigrates and humiliates and scorns all of the values that you hold dear. But when it comes to the United States, I think we really are different. We were a country built not merely by peoples, but by ideas. George Washington writes, of course, this letter in 1790 to the largest Jewish community in the United States in Newport, Rhode Island, telling them, we want you as Jews to come to this country because, in his own words, quote, bigotry will be granted no sanction and persecution no assistance. We Jews, we're not guests of America. We are part of what it means to be America. And I'm not willing to give that up because I'm American. And again, you're probably thinking, and all the Aliyah snobs living in Israel will say, well, that's what the Polish Jews thought as well, which I'm sorry, but it is so qualitatively different. So yes, there's an increasing rise of anti-Semitism on both the right and the left. But at the end of the day, I love living in this country. I love being an American. I'm also not naive enough. It's not that it couldn't happen here. I'm a student of history. I'm a Jewish person. So I know that our 3,000-year-old story teaches us not to get too comfortable. But ultimately, am I ready to throw in the towel? Absolutely not. Most Americans have a strict sense of justice, of fairness. And when they see American students being denied access to education, when they see American students being physically assaulted on their campuses, they don't like that. Now, does that translate into support of Israel? Not necessarily. And I'm very, very proud to call myself an American. I was just at the White House. In fact, can I impress you real quick? I was at the White House literally 2 weeks ago celebrating Shabbat 250. This is the seal of the President of the United States with the logo Shabbat 250 because President Trump signed an executive order encouraging Jews in America to keep Shabbat. What an incredible country we get to live in. I'm so proud to call myself an American, and I have no intention of throwing in the towel. I'm so proud to call myself a Jewish American, and that's never going to change.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching, and do subscribe using the link below. Thanks and goodbye.